Don't you wish you lived in a perfect world, kind of like this? Chocolate would have no calories. Procrastination would be honored as a virtue. Teenagers would rather clean their rooms than talk on the phone. Politicians would pay us taxes. Children on trips would say, "Isn't riding in the car fun?" And then they go to sleep. And also, they would say, "Hey, I love vegetables." They would not develop vocal cords until after they move away from home. Men would go through labor. Unfortunately, we don't live in a perfect world. So we need the fourth fruit of the Spirit. And this is the one you've been waiting on and the one you need, I'm sure. It is patience. We need patience, especially in our relationships. Proverbs 14:29. A patient man has great understanding, but a quick-tempered man displays folly. The wise are patient. The foolish get angry easily. So we have to talk about anger in conjunction with patience, because the definition of patience is slow to anger. The Greek word for patience is makrothumos. Makro means long or big. Thumos means heat, energy, anger, wrath. A thermos holds in heat. So patience is the person who is slow to get angry and has a long fuse that doesn't boil over quickly. Is that you? There's a broad range of anger that goes from mildly irritated to indignant to mad and outwardly shows it, to fury leading to violence, then to rage, which is severe fury. Usually we feel guilty for our anger, but anger isn't always wrong. God has given us the capacity to get angry. Sometimes it's the appropriate response. 18 times in the Old Testament, it talks about the anger of the Lord. We know Jesus flipped the tables of the money changers who were making money off religious requirements of the temple and the tradition of the elders. Jesus called the Pharisees vipers and whitewashed tombs. So there's a place for anger over injustice, racism, and abortion. Aristotle said, "It is easy to fly into a passion. Anybody can do that. But to be angry with the right person, to the right extent, and at the right time, and with the right object, and in the right way, that is not easy. And it is not everyone who can do it." Cindy Leitner's teen daughter was killed by a drunk driver. She got mad and formed MAD, Mothers Against Drunk Drivers. So controlled anger is virtuous. Out of control anger is sin. Anger is the thermostat of the soul. It alerts us that something is going on inside us. So how can I manage my anger? How can I develop patience in my relationships? I want to share with you 7 keys to managing your anger from Scripture this morning. The first is, decide to manage it. Quit saying that you can't control your anger and start believing that the Holy Spirit will help you. Quit making excuses and accept responsibility. You have more control than you think. You get worked up and your body produces adrenaline, which makes it seem uncontrollable. So the first step is deciding in advance, before you get angry, how you're going to deal with the situation. Proverbs 16:32 says, "Better a patient man than a warrior, a man who controls his temper, than one who takes a city." You need to believe it's possible and decide to do it. Number 2, understand the cost of uncontrolled anger. It has a price tag. Proverbs 29:22 says, An angry man stirs up dissension, and a hot-tempered one commits many sins. This is why we mustn't make excuses for our anger, because most of the time it's sin. When you lose your temper, you lose. Anger causes mistakes, destroys relationships. It leads to heart attacks, strokes, and high blood pressure. Anger triggers the body's fight or flight response. Other emotions that trigger this response include fear, excitement, and anxiety. The adrenal glands flood the body with stress hormones, such as adrenaline and cortisol. The brain shunts blood away from the gut and towards the muscles in preparation for physical exertion. Heart rate, blood pressure, and respiration increase. The body temperature rises and the skin perspires. The mind is sharpened and focused. The constant flood of stress chemicals and associated metabolic changes that go with ongoing unmanaged anger can eventually cause harm to many different systems of the body. Some of the short and long-term health problems that have been linked to unmanaged anger include headache, digestive problems such as abdominal pain, insomnia, increased anxiety, depression, high blood pressure, skin problems such as eczema, heart attack, and stroke. You can probably think of examples from your own life about anger. Here's one from mine. It's when I was pastoring in Canton, I played in a church basketball league. A guy on the other team wasn't playing D. He would stand near half court. His team would get the rebound and heave it down the court to that guy who would make a layup. I was chasing him once as the ball fell through the net, and I kicked it up to the ceiling. The ceiling was made of tiles. Several tiles exploded and rained down on me. I was embarrassed. That's another cost of anger that's uncontrolled. So remind yourself of the cost for your anger. It absolutely can ruin your witness. Here's the third step. Think before reacting. Don't react impulsively. Delay is a tremendous tool. Get the facts. My second grade teacher didn't. There was a drinking fountain by the teacher's lounge. And she came out and heard a kid in line singing, "First grade babies, second grade tots, third grade something, fourth grade snots, fifth grade peaches, sixth grade plums. All the rest are dirty bums." So she assumed it was me singing that song, and she grabbed my arm and paddled me. Imagine that. Ephesians 4:26. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. There's an Italian proverb that says, "He who goes to bed angry has the devil for a bedmate." Anger delayed gives you time to cool down. Thomas Jefferson said, "When you're angry, count to 100. Mark Twain said, "When you're angry, count to 4. And when you're very angry, swear." The tongue is the only tool that gets sharper with use. Perhaps we've used Twain's advice too much and need to try Jefferson's. So when you got that adrenaline rush coursing through your body, that's when you've got to pull away. Take a walk and cool down. Reflect on your anger. Nehemiah in chapter 5 said, "When I heard their outcry and these charges, I was very angry. I pondered them in my mind." And Proverbs 29:11 says, "A fool gives full vent to his anger, but a wise man keeps himself under control." Chill out. Calm down before you put that tongue into high gear. During the delay, try and understand why you're so angry. It's probably because your goal got blocked, or you got hurt, or are afraid. Here's the fourth principle. Release your anger appropriately. So you reflect on why you're angry, then you can release it appropriately. Back to Ephesians 4:26. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. So from this verse, we see it's possible to be angry and not sin. There are right and wrong ways to be angry, appropriate and inappropriate responses, helpful and harmful ways to deal with it. One wrong way is to repress it, deny it. And Christians are especially prone to this. They think all anger is sin. They think by denying their anger, they're being patient. That's not patience. That's lying. Patience isn't pretending. Another wrong way to deal with it is to vent it. Proverbs 29:11. The fool vents his anger. Some were taught to let it out, and that will make you feel better. Remember primal scream therapy or howling at the moon? Well, I disagree with that because you don't have just a bucket full of anger to dump. You have a factory. You can produce more and more in unlimited amounts. Just venting it at somebody will cause them to vent back, which only escalates the situation. Don't be the angry skunk that unloads and everybody's got to smell it. Venting doesn't address the root problem. Who made me angry? I did. So confess it. Admit it. I'm hurting about this. I'm afraid. I'm frustrated. Admit it to God. I'm mad at so-and-so God. Release it the right way. Then you're going to have to forgive. That will take the ministry of the Holy Spirit in you. But it's hard to keep hating the person you're praying for daily. Don't pray that God would change them. Pray that God would bless them and change you. Then watch what God does in your life. Forgiveness effectively resolves anger by releasing the other person from the debt they owe you. Then we can examine our own heart and eliminate the cause of our anger. We can let it go. Unlock the prison door of your heart and let them go. The fifth principle is to reprogram your mind. This begins the process of long-term change. We've developed habits of wrong thinking over the years, so we've got to change our thinking, and that takes time, so be patient with yourself. Romans 12:2. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. Be transformed by making New Year's resolutions. No, that's not what it says. Be transformed by watching the latest infomercials. No. I'm transformed by renewing my mind. Now listen carefully. The way I think determines the way I feel. And the way I feel determines the way I act. I act angry because I feel angry. And if I feel angry, it's because I'm choosing to think angry thoughts. Your beliefs control your behavior. You have to reprogram your computer. That is your brain. Let's say someone sends you a disparaging comment. you believe it's a personal attack. Well, you probably think more highly of yourself than you ought. But here's where you've got to stop the normal thought process and tell yourself, no matter what they think of you, God loves you. Proverbs 19:11 says, "It is to a man's glory to overlook an offense." You have to speak truth to yourself from God's word. 2 Corinthians 10:5 says, "We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ." Now, Paul says you're to do this. It takes effort. When you start feeling angry, quote Scripture out loud. You reprogram your mind with truth. Now, your old sin nature says, get a gun, cuss them out, yell back, hit them, seek revenge, stay mad, don't forgive them. And you've been thinking this way ever since you were a kid. So it's not easy to change, but as a Christian, someone who has the Holy Spirit in them, it's possible. You need to have a list of verses you can go to. Verses that tell you who you are in Christ, who He's created, called, and gifted you to be. That's how you reprogram your mind with Scripture. Sixthly, befriend patient people. Proverbs 22, verses 24 and 5 is very practical. It says, "Do not make friends with a hot-tempered man. Do not associate with one easily angered, or you may learn his ways and get yourself ensnared." Anger is contagious. It's highly infectious, like COVID-19. If I yell at you, you get defensive and yell at me. If you're not the yelling type, you'll be seething with anger within. So let me ask you this morning, who are you hanging out with? A bunch of hotheads? If so, you need to fire some of your friends and hire some new ones. That's a good reason to come to church, to make godly friends. Now, I didn't say perfect people, because there are none here. But there are people who are striving to be like Jesus here. Look, you learn to be angry from someone, and you can learn to be patient from someone. And the seventh and last point is ask for Christ's help. Jesus said this in John 14:13, "And I will do whatever you ask in my name." Jesus will always answer this prayer to help you be patient, because that's His will. It's a trait of the Holy Spirit, a trait of God who is long-suffering, especially with our sin. He'll always answer that prayer. The Holy Spirit wants to work patience in your life. And by asking for His help, He'll show you the root cause or causes. He'll replace your hurt with His love. He'll give hope to your frustration. He'll give peace to your insecurity and fear, so you can rely on Him. The level of patience in you is in direct proportion to the level of your relationship with God. Patience is where the rubber meets the road. It's fairly easy to be patient at church. It's much harder at home and work. But Christianity works there too. Let me pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, I thank You for the ministry of the Holy Spirit who dwells in those who believe. And a fruit of the Spirit's life in us is patience. Although we all admit that's a tough one, we're all too impatient. So, Lord, we are asking for your help, and we believe that you will answer our prayer by using the Word of God to transform our thinking, by using circumstances in our life to help us develop patience. Lord, we thank you today for the work that you are doing in us and that you will complete until the day Jesus comes again. We give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' name.
Amen.